At KBOO, we accept many kinds of vehicle donations. We accept fuzzy vans, broken cars, zippy scooters, seaworthy boats, well-worn farm equipment, family-sized SUVs, old jet skis, and more. If your vehicle has a clean title, we can take it as a donation. If your vehicle isn't working, we can work with that, too. Call 877-KBOO-123. That's 877-526-6123. Or go to our website, kboo.fm/vehicle.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Welcome to an Islamic point of view, a production of the Muslim Community Center of Portland and this station. Today we have Yasmin Moghahed with a talk entitled "The Law is the Best of Planners."
السلام عليكم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. This is a topic which I actually wanted to really focus on. In the first half of this statement is the overall theme of this conference, and that is that Allah plans. And then I wanted to really talk about this element of it, and Allah is the best of planners. So we go through things in life which don't necessarily go according to our plan. I think everyone at some level can relate to that, where we want something to turn out a certain way. We think that things should be a certain way. We really, really want something very, very badly, a specific outcome, or some sort of, result, and we do not get that result, and we do not get that outcome that we really, really want, or that we really, tried very hard to get to. I think that of all the years in the sort of recent past, 2020 is a wonderful lesson of the fact that we plan and Allah plans. And I want to actually extend that to explain why it is that, in fact, not only is it that we plan and Allah plans, but Allah is the best of planners. You know, there's a lot of plans that every single one of us had during this year. There are a lot of plans that every single one of us had, for 2020 that didn't exactly work out. You know, for example, many of us had specific plans for Ramadan. We probably, we had a specific routine that we were accustomed to, and we almost became, maybe we even had a sense of entitlement, that we felt entitled to these things that we were just used to doing, like going to the masjid for Taraweeh, like meeting our family and our friends for Iftar. But it didn't really work out that way. And, you know, with the whole, upheaval of the COVID-19 and the lockdown, I think a lot of us, at different levels learned this lesson. And that is that we can make plans all day. We can spend our lives planning something, but at the end of the day, it's Allah's plan that takes over. And I want to really focus on that, because I think for a lot of people, that concept is scary. I think for a lot of people, that concept makes them feel insecure, almost like, wait a minute, I'm not in control. And I think it's actually ironic that we think that way, because to me, and if you really, really examine it, there's nothing more terrifying, more frightening than the idea of me being in control of my own life and in control of everything that happens around me. Can you imagine? Think for a moment about our condition as human beings. We as human beings are extremely weak by nature. We are extremely flawed by nature. We are extremely limited by nature. We don't know what's going to happen 5 seconds from now, right? We don't know, you know, what's beyond the very limited amount that we can see with our physical eyes or that we can hear. We don't know the future. We don't know beyond a very, very small scope. So our knowledge is very, very limited. But beyond that, our ability is very, very limited, right? There's a limit to how much weight we can carry. There's a limit to how much, how far we can see, how much we can hear. There's a physical limit as well to our ability, as well as there being a limit to our knowledge. Now imagine with all those limits and all of our biases, and you know, previously we were talking some about the biases that we have, the injustice that we see in the world, the racism. I mean, we as human beings are a collection of a lot of weaknesses, limitations, and biases. Now, can you imagine that entity that has all these weaknesses and all these biases and all these limitations was put in charge? And I think that if you really examine it, that would be extremely terrifying. That if we were actually the ones steering this ship of our lives and the consequences, ultimate consequences, and the direction of our lives and the lives of those around us, I think that to me is terrifying. But thank God we are not the ones who are ultimately steering the ship. See, many of us were sort of, I guess what you could call like control freaks, right? We wanna feel like we're in charge. We wanna feel like we're in control of our lives. But at the end of the day, it isn't us. It isn't us who is steering the ship of our lives, the ship of this world. It's actually Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I wanna say that alhamdulillah for that. You know, every single day when we thank Allah, we have so many blessings to thank Allah for. This needs to be one of them. This should be one of those blessings that we thank Allah for. Like, thank God I'm not in charge of what happens in the world. Thank God I'm not in charge of what happens in my life and the outcomes of my life. Because I would mess it up. That would be a disaster, and if you think about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has designed and how he has steered our lives, many of us, you know, for example, there'll be times in our lives where we really, really, we're really trying for something, a specific thing, a specific outcome, and it doesn't work out, right? And it isn't until, you know, sometimes far into the future that we look back And we sometimes are given some knowledge of how that was actually better for us. And many of us are extremely thankful that specific outcome that we wanted, you know, maybe it was a specific job that you wanted, or a specific person that you were trying to marry, or a specific place you were going to move, or whatever that happens to be that you were trying for, and Allah blocked it. And then, you know, sometime in the future, you look back and you realize that it was for your own good. But this is one of those things that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So I wanted to just give an example of this, that I think it's a story in the Quran that I think absolutely illustrates this point so beautifully. It's an entire chapter to the story of, Yusuf alayhi salam, his father, his brothers, and about the story of what Yusuf alayhi salam went through. And I think if we look at his story, we get this lesson really, really illustrated again and again. And that is that something can appear on the externally to be negative. And you may not understand why it's happening. You may think it's a bad thing, but that ultimately in the future, it was part of the greater plan of God. It was part of the greater divine design. And I think when you study the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, you see this beautifully illustrated. I'm just going to give a few examples from his life where you see this unfolding. So as you know, Yusuf alayhi salam, when he was very young, he had a dream, And in his dream, he saw that there were stars bowing to him and the sun and the moon. When he told his father, Yaqub, about this dream, Yaqub realized that this meant that his son was going to be honored with prophethood, but he was really afraid of the jealousy of the brothers. So he told him not to tell his brothers about his dream. Now, as the years went on, the jealousy grew of his brothers anyway. They felt like he was preferred, he was special more than they were. And so they devised a plan. And as you know, they ended up taking Yusuf alayhi salam and leaving him in a well. So now this is kind of the first really what seemed like a very unfortunate thing that happened to Yusuf alayhi salam. And it's interesting because this is, you know, once you fast forward to the entire timeline of his story, which of course Yusuf alayhi salam didn't know, but Allah did, right? But when we stand back and Allah shows us the entire timeline, we understand that there was a wisdom to him being left in the well, and that it was part of the greater plan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had for Yusuf alayhi salam. Now, when he got left in the well, one other thing that I thought was really beautiful is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Yusuf that when he was left in the well, Allah inspired him. So Allah gave him Allah let him know, Allah gave him an inspiration that there will come a day where he will inform his brothers about what's happening right now, and they won't know and they won't be aware. And so from even the onset of this, you know, these tests that Yusuf alayhi salam is going through, Allah is also at the same time, he's comforting him. He's giving him reassurance. Number one, that he's not alone. And number two, that there is a purpose to this, that there is a greater design. There is a divine design that is unfolding, that it isn't just random, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not abandoned him. So his being left there in the well. And one other point I want to mention here is that there is a lesson here as well for our own lives. And that is that besides the concept of things happening, appearing to be bad, but actually being ultimately part of the greater plan, is this lesson that even in the bottom of the well, so this is like a really, I mean, this is really traumatic if you really think about it. Your own brothers, your own siblings, you think you're out for like a picnic and you're just playing, and then all of a sudden they take you and throw you and leave you in a well. I mean, that's trauma, right? That's traumatic. But you see that even when he was at that point, like literally metaphorically and literally at the bottom, you know, like rock bottom type thing, right? But even in that state, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still gave him comfort. And you know, this is another lesson which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, where he says, "Inna ma'al usri yusra," that indeed with the difficulty is ease. And so you see here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us comfort even at the same time as our trials. That's a very important lesson from here. And this is a lesson that Allah tells us throughout the Quran, that our trials, Allah doesn't just give us trials and then just leave us to ourselves, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us trials, gives us difficulty, yes, but at the same time, he also gives us ease. He also gives us help. You know, like, for example, like practically speaking for us, how does that apply? You know, sometimes people might go through something really difficult, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them people in their lives to help them, to support them. You know, maybe it's a friend, maybe it's a spouse, maybe it's a parent, maybe it's someone, you know, that you don't even know, that you listen to online, or that a book that you read. You know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just give us the difficulty, but he also gives us the aid and the help in order to handle that difficulty. Another example is that when we're tried, when we're tested in one aspect of our lives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the same time, he gives us many blessings in other aspects of our lives, right? So a person who is tested, for example, in their health, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests them with a disease, for example. But at the same time, that individual has money, has safety, has, you know, a great family. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them blessings at the same time as the trial. It's not that Allah tests us in everything at the same time, but Allah gives us a trial. Yes, He gives us the usr, the difficulty, but at the same time, He gives us ease. He gives us general and abundant yusr, general and abundant ease and blessings. And that helps us to cope. That helps us to cope with the difficulty itself. And so here you see that Yusuf alayhi salam, he is going through this trial. He's in the well, but Allah gives him the reassurance and the comfort of telling him that someday, you know, things are going to turn around. And it's going to be him that is informing his brothers about what's happening, and that the positions are going to change. And so you see that here, this incident itself, which again, most people would look at as very negative and obviously very traumatic, and yet it was part of the design. Because he was in the well, that's why he was picked up by a caravan, and then he was sold as a slave. Now again, second really traumatic experience, being taken and sold as a, you know, basically captive. And again, that also was part of the divine design, because that's how he ended up being positioned in the home of the treasurer, and that was part of the design to then take him to the next step in that plan for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, because we're limited in time, I just want to highlight a few things from this, right? And that is that the second traumatic experience of him being a captive. And what's interesting here is I want to just highlight what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at this point in the timeline of Yusuf alayhi salam. So in ayah 21 of Surah Yusuf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now realize that this is when he's been taken captive. So the translation is, and the one from Egypt who brought him said to his wife, make his residence comfortable. Perhaps he will benefit us, or we will adopt him as a son. Okay, so this is when he's been taken captive. Look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about this. He says, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وكذلك مكنا ليوسف في الأرض ولنعلمه من تأويل الأحاديث. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and thus did we establish Joseph in the land. So that blows my mind, because he's just been taken captive. And yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that this is how we established Yusuf in the land. And then Allah goes on to say, and we taught him the interpretation of events. So this is something that Allah is saying, even though externally it looked like a very, very negative, traumatic experience. And yet the way Allah, see, there's the way we see it, right? And that's the relative understanding, right? Everything that we're going through right now in our lives collectively, for example, there's a relative understanding of the current events, right? But then there's the true understanding, which only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. So you look here at the contrast between the relative understanding of being found in a well and then taken captive, right? Relative understanding. But then contrast that with the real understanding, the true understanding of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where he says that this is how we established Yusuf, and this is how we taught him the interpretation of events. Subhanallah. And then that brings me to the next point. And this is related to that concept of who's steering the ship. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is predominant over his own affairs, over his plan. In other words, it's Allah who's steering everything. It's not me and it's not you. We are not the ones in control of our own lives and our own outcomes. It is ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the point where I think a lot of people, they kind of get like shaken by that. Like, wait a minute, I'm not in charge? Like, wait a minute, I'm not the one, you know, in control? This freaks a lot of people out, especially people who need to feel in control. But yet, this is to me, And if you really examine it, a comfort, it's telling you that you don't have to carry the burden, that you can put down that burden of always feeling like I gotta make things happen and I'm in control and I'm in charge. That's actually a burden that's heavy enough to crush a person. And so this is in fact a comfort to tell us that Allah's got you, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one in control. Wallahu ghalibun ala amri. So, so powerful and so comforting. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finishes the ayah by saying, وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. So, and Allah is the one who is predominant over his own plan and predominant over his own affairs, and yet most people don't realize this. And so Allah here is explaining that most people are confused about this reality. Most people don't realize that they're not the ones in charge. Most people don't realize that actually it's Allah in charge, and that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala steering the ship of our lives. And alhamdulillah for that. And then finally, I wanna just touch upon what happens at the end. So we know that the story of Yusuf alayhi salam continues. What seemed like an unfortunate event that happened to him actually had a greater purpose, and it was part of the ultimate design, which was this, right? After Yusuf alayhi salam, so now Yusuf alayhi salam from the well, he gets captured, he gets put in this home. Now in that home, he gets the wife of the treasurer tries to seduce him. He ends up getting put unjustly in jail. So now this is, again, a very seemingly unfortunate event. He's in jail now. He's been accused, he's innocent, and now he's in jail. But again, this was part of the plan, because what happens in jail is that he meets two people, interprets their dreams, and their dreams actually, one of the dreams gives them a warning that there is a famine coming, of a 7-year famine. And so that they should prepare. This is like not just gonna affect one person. This is gonna affect the entire country or everyone in that area. And now they've been given this because he was in jail and he met this individual and he interpreted his dream. They now had the preparation that they needed to save food for that, you know, there was gonna be 7 years of good harvest and then 7 years of famine. And because of that, that course of events, Yusuf alayhi salam now, you know, because of that interpretation, now so many lives have been saved, because now they were prepared and people didn't have to starve. And so you see, this is one of those lessons where you understand that sometimes things happen in your life, and the objective is not only for you or your life, but sometimes it has to do with a bigger picture of the greater purpose for other things outside of you, for other people outside of you, that there is a bigger purpose. And we find a lot of comfort in knowing that things are not happening randomly, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a greater plan. And you see that from the life of Yusuf alayhi salam. Now he did go through trial after trial after trial, and yet each one had its purpose to ultimately bring him to his destiny and to his purpose. And ultimately he ended up in the position of authority. His brothers come to him, you know, for food, and he ultimately forgave them. But you see how the whole position that he was in, where he was the one who was weak, and then he ended up, that positioning completely changed, and now he was the one in a position of authority. Lastly, I want to end with this, and that is that, you know, when you look at Yusuf alayhi salam and his state when he was at the lowest and his state when he was at the highest, both states he was submissive, he was grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he submitted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He never complained. He never said, why me? He never said, this isn't fair. He was always in complete trust and submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he was at his weakest, as well as when he was at his, you know, that peak of authority. And now I want to end with this ayah, which is at the end of Surah Yusuf. This is verse 110, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they continued until when the messengers despaired and were certain that they had been denied, there came to them our victory. And whoever we willed, we saved. And our punishment cannot be repelled from the people who are criminals. SubhanAllah, Allah here is telling us, and he is reassuring us, that just as the prophets and the messengers, they would get to a point where they would almost despair, and they would almost think that they were being rejected. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would bring his victory to them, and he would save them. And so this is a, you know, obviously a lesson for all of us. That the following ayah, verse 111, says that لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي قَصَصٍ. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says لَقَدْ كَانَ. Now this means indeed, that indeed in these stories. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us a story, it's for a purpose. He says عِبْرَةٌ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ. So when Allah tells us a story, it isn't just to entertain us, but it is a ibra. It is a lesson for the people of understanding. أقولي قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه غفور رحيم سبحانك الله وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
You have been listening to Yasmin Mukahed on An Islamic Point of View here on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Today's lecture was titled, And Allah is the Best of Planners. You can listen to Islamic Point of View each week here on KBOO, Sundays at 8 a.m. You can follow the Muslim Community Center of Portland on Facebook for weekly videos and updates at facebook.com/Muslim Community Center of Portland. Thanks for tuning in. Stay tuned for Pathways next. Have a blessed day. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. Before we get started today, a reminder that KBOO's end of year membership drive is going on. KBOO is commercial free, volunteer powered radio made possible by listeners like you. Please help us reach our $45,000 fundraising goal. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321. And thank you very much. Every little bit helps, so please chip in. It's a choice, and it's a choice that I'm urging you to make, because we as human beings are always making choices.